College Volleyball Weekly, The Beach Report, with Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford, Matt Fitzpatrick of Florida State, and Rob on the mic. Now here are your hosts with The Weekly Report.
Hey everyone, and welcome to College Volleyball Weekly, The Beach Edition. And we don't have our normal cast on crew today, but instead we're doing not a coast to coast report. We're doing a Texas West report because we've got from Phoenix, Arizona, Tegan DeFalco plays number twos for Grand Canyon University, go Lopes. And of course, representing the West Coast, Charlie Ekstrom, Stanford University. Thanks for coming on College Volleyball Weekly this week, ladies.
Thanks for having me as always, Rob. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Rob. So honored to be here.
Well, I had to have Tegan on because she's the most talented DeFalco, at least volleyball-wise, in that family. So, you know, there's another person in your family that just kind of fallen in my memory somewhere.
Yeah, the name is really, I have no idea who you're talking about, actually.
And he has a man bun, so he's dead to me.
He's really dead to me, too. Don't worry.
Well, hey, Neil, it was another exciting week of collegiate beach volleyball, and there is so much to talk about, and you know, we may camp on a few of the teams, but it's because top four teams in the nation all went up against each other. And then the next, you know, four to 10 or 5 to 10, they all went against each other during the week. So we've got to talk about that action. So let's just start with the most obvious question. What were the surprises, shockers, upsets, or eye-catching matches of week six? We'll start with our rookie, Tegan DeFalco.
For me, the most eye-catching was Stanford. Stanford. I see you, Charlie, you guys beating Cal Poly. That for me was, I was like, okay, Stanford is a force to be reckoned with this year. And you guys have come in so hot, and I'm just so impressed with all that you guys have been able to do this year.
We can do a popcorn style. We'll go over to Charlie, because I know there's more than one. We'd be crazy not to say more than one, especially with this last weekend.
Yeah, thank you, first of all. And then second of all, I'm actually going to look down and look at North Florida, looking at the East Coast. North Florida had an undefeated weekend, and they upset FAU, Florida Gulf Coast, and then they also beat Tampa and Palm Beach. So North Florida kind of came out of the woodworks here and just really, really kicked some butt this past weekend.
Yes, they did. I'll have to say, one of the duels that was so eye-catching to me, UCLA, LSU, duel number one. I was watching the number ones because my court had finished. I was working the stream, so I can only focus on the match I was working on. But it was Savvy Simo and Lexi Danneberg against Kristen Taryn Cloth. Third set tiebreak. The final score, 27-25. Nuss and Cloth fought off 12 match point opportunities from UCLA. And it was one of the most amazing third set tiebreaks I've ever seen. So that definitely was an eye-catching match for me. Tegan, let's bounce over to you.
Another eye-catching match for me would be probably the UCLA win over LSU. And the ones beating FSU, Lexi and Savvy, that was huge for me. And yeah, also, have we moved on to pairs yet?
Not yet, but you know, you can drop.
I'm excited. I want to talk about pairs. well, can I talk about pairs?
If you want to go, let's go with it. Let's just roll with it.
Yeah, let's roll with it. Because all that I have on my mind right now is I'm going to speak for GCU here a little bit. Alanis and Paola have been killing it in the fours. And I'm just loving the action from the fours in that.
Well, we'll have to mention that they're one of only three remaining teams in the nation that are undefeated. We'll mention the other ones later, I'm sure. So how about you, Charlie? Go for it. Another eye-catching surprise, shocker, duel or match for you this last week.
Yeah, I'm going to go and look at the Arizona U of A upsetting Pepperdine for the first time in program history and upsetting them 4-1. So not just having a battle of an upset, but having a really decisive upset. I think that that was a huge move for U of A. And I think that it's awesome to get their first ever program win against Pep.
Well, I'm going to interject a question there because obviously being athletes, and you probably played against some of the ladies or the athletes of Arizona, but What's making that program so successful where they're at? I think obviously with UT and being so closer than us to U of A, tell me about some of the athletes and the pairs that are playing with Arizona right now.
So Arizona has moved around a lot of their pairs recently. And the first time we played against them, they kind of surprised us a little bit. They had Sarah Blacker in the ones with
Alex Parkhurst.
They were doing so well. They were a force that I was honestly taken aback a little bit. And coming off of our season last year, me and Bella were shocked. They made very little mistakes and their blocker was huge. I had never seen her before and she was very dominant at the net. So for us, it was definitely hard coming up against U of A and them being ranked so low was, you know, you come into that thinking that, oh yeah, we're good. We're gonna beat them based off of rankings alone. But then they came in and they surprised everybody, honestly.
How about your thoughts on the U of A team, Charlie? Because, you know, I saw a fan, I'm not going to say either way, I can't remember their handle, but they sent me a video like, you got to post this. This is our upset of Pepperdine. And I did it because I love when you see teams really beginning to find their way and start doing some big things. So thoughts on U of A?
Yeah, so we actually had the opportunity to play them. And they, like Tegan was saying, like they are a force. They are very consistent as a team. And it came down to our forest court and we ended up coming out victorious, but they were definitely a team that we had to battle against. I think a pair that has been producing wins very consistently for them as well has been their threes of Natalie Anselmo and Carly Lowry. They're a pair of fifth years and they've been producing a lot of wins and just having a very high success rate at that threes position.
Yeah, I agree. I've been coming across that team's or the team's names pretty frequently lately. So good call on that one. Anything else to add there, Tegan?
Let me think. Their twos, playing them this weekend with their twos was, they're a very solid team. I think that they're coached really well this year and they just don't make a lot of mistakes. Like it's very impressive what they've come out of from the last couple of years and just being able to turn some really great players into some wins for sure.
Yep. Well, let's talk about, I'm going to start with the six, actually the 5 through 10 last week. What were some of the big events beyond, this Stanford team who jumped up 10 spots last week and only jumped up 2 this week. But let's talk about the movement that happened in that particular range because Grand Canyon also moved up 2 this week in the College Beach Volleyball Poll. Let me jump over to the AVCAA. I think you moved up 1 as well. Yes, that's right. So actually stayed right where you're at. So what's happening in that particular range of the rankees in that particular area of the AVCA and the College Beach VV poll? We'll start with you, Tegan.
For me, it's been very impressive with Cal and FAU coming in and what are they ranked right now? I think Cal is 11.
They're at 12 right now in the AVCA and in College Beach VB, they are at 11.
Okay. That's what I was saying for me, Cal has been such a good team to play against. They're so solid every year. And for me, it's been, they just lost to Cal Poly, which 3-2, that's so good for them. And for FAU winning over Tampa and Palm Beach Atlantic 4-1 and 4-1 again, like for me, I'm so impressed with the teams are so strong this year and you go down to tens and any team is going to give you a battle no matter who you play.
Yep. And we're seeing that happen with all the shifting that's going on in the polls and people are paying attention to the records and who they're beating. It's like you have a very educated pollster, so to speak, watching pretty closely because it's an exciting time with only, 3 weeks left until a conference tournament for a lot of the teams. And clarify for me, Tegan, what does Grand Canyon do? Is there a postseason tournament for you? Is it just based on record? I mean, what's it get? We talked a little bit about this before.
Yeah, so we don't have a postseason tournament. We aren't actually in any conference. We're kind of just a floater. So for us, it's really based off of our record. And if we get enough solid wins from some top 10 teams, we have a good chance of getting an at-large bid. So we rely heavily on the at-large in order to go to nationals at the end of the year.
Yep. All right, Charlie, time to chime in. You've been a little quiet, but it's because I've been talking too much. So what do you got for us? 5 to the 10 spot being that, you know, again, Stanford big jump the last 2 weeks, but you still weren't the biggest jumper this week. I'm going to mention them in a little bit.
Yeah. So I would definitely have to say that kind of we've been predicting this for a while, that a lot of upsets were kind of going to come with this season, with the season being such a unprecedented kind of, we didn't know what was like uncharted territory with it being so many teams having so little practice, but also with a lot of teams like not necessarily having the vision or not having like, not having necessarily that like initial view from pollers. So we kind of were predicting that some upsets were going to happen. I think Tegan made a really good point with Cal. We had the opportunity to play them and upset them this weekend, but Cal is definitely a force. And they actually, in that match against Cal Poly, they had a medical forfeit due to at the fours, they had an injury happen right before the game started and she tried to play it out, but they ended up having to medically forfeit 11 points in. So that was a 3-2 loss that actually was a 3-1 loss because a 2-2 with the third set being a medical forfeit. So that was a battle between Cal and Cal Poly. And it was a battle like this whole weekend at Stanford. We had battles on, I think everything was 3-2 for all of the games. And I think that we're seeing that a lot at the 5-10s, like everything's pretty much a 3-2, like down to the final court on the sidelines, both sides screaming, both sides really antsy, like kind of everywhere.
Yeah. Well, we've named quite a few matches already, but so we still haven't talked about the top four, but you know, one team that's moved a lot, we've already talked about Arizona was the biggest leaper this week in the College Beach Volleyball Poll. They jumped up four spots, which is amazing. And, you know, it's well-deserved. Another team that was up there, obviously Grand Canyon two, Stanford two spots, but UCLA from number four to number one this week. Let's talk about what they did this last weekend with probably a mini Gulf Shores weekend. I'm sure that everyone was following the results. Let's start with Tegan on her thoughts. Like, did you think it was going to end up that way with UCLA coming in as the four seed and winning everything over the weekend?
I definitely was surprised by UCLA's wins over some really big teams. Like, and UCLA this year has been kind of, they had some weird lineups in the beginning and then now they are so solid, but you would think like the LSU is the powerhouse this year. Everybody thought LSU was going to take it. And now to see UCLA coming in and just doing what they do best and winning, and you know that they're being coached well through that. And it was just like, it was so much fun watching all the results from this weekend and seeing FSU and USC and all these teams going up against each other and being so surprised by UCLA coming up and beating everybody. Like, it was just so nice to see, especially with such young people on their roster right now.
Yep. All right, Charlie, anything to add there?
Yeah, I think Tegan hit the nail on the head perfectly. I think that UCLA was not necessarily the predicted victor of this weekend, and they came out and they got their job done. They have always been just such a crazily consistent team. And I think that that's the thing, like Tegan mentioned it perfectly. Like, we're not seeing UCLA as this big powerhouse squad, but what's winning them games is how crazy consistent and how they like just put up wins. Like, they are very, very consistent and do not make mistakes. They get their job done and they get it done in a very, very consistent manner. Yeah. I think that we all knew that they were a team to battle with, but I didn't necessarily see them coming out victorious. And I think that it's awesome. I think that this weekend was a really, really good kind of predecessor to what's going to happen at Gulf Shores.
Yep. Well, let's jump to USC. They had some changes this weekend because Julia Scholes was out of the number two spot, and playing in her place is Megan Kraft with Haley Harward. And then the Norse twins, still undefeated. I mean, still super strong. They're deep with talent. But I was thinking, well, there's no way they're going to lose this weekend. But Elena Chacon and Molly McBain with that Saturday night victory over SC at Merle Norman Stadium was kind of like the shocker. And that was the dual deciding match. So thoughts on FSU, even though Mads is not here. Mads, you're here in spirit. Tegan, go for it.
For me, FSU has always been a team to reckon with. Elena and Molly are smaller. You wouldn't think that they'd be split walkers, but they pull out some plays that would really shock you. And like Elena or Molly back there playing defense or up blocking, they get some blocks that you would never think they'd get playing against someone like Tina Gardina and Sammy Slater. But they are definitely somebody you have to watch out for, because they're just so consistent and they won't make a lot of mistakes, and they'll make you pay if you give them some easy plays.
Well, I'll only add that they're probably one of the most athletic teams I've seen. Like they've got quick feet and they just read very well, and they rely on that instinct. Reminds me a lot about the McNamara's, kind of, you know, two undersized players that just are able to beat you, and they are so fast. Like watching their synchronicity on their plays on defense, moving side to side, reading, creating windows and digging the open areas. I was like so amazed. I mean, that is a well-coached and a well-playing team. So
they're probably mentally one of the most stable teams I've played against as well. You can't get a lot past them mentally. Like they don't show a lot of emotion. And really, if you make any kind of mistakes, they'll make you pay for it.
Yep. Charlie, I know you got some brewing right there you're going to throw our way.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we were expecting the FSU-USC games to I don't know if I was necessarily expecting them to split or what I was like expecting the results to be, but I knew that they were going to be a battle that came down to the end. I was talking to Mads a little bit this weekend about how exciting it was to kind of have that split and to kind of have that 2-1 upset. But I think it's like, I mean, I don't know. I think like, again, it's an indicator of kind of some great, great volleyball that's going to happen at Gulf Shores. And like you were mentioning with USC, Rob, they had a little bit of a lineup switch and they were still able to fight and still able to win some games. And I think that that's a really good sign and a really good show of kind of the depth that that program has, that they're able to still produce wins and still fight even when one of their key members of their starting lineup isn't necessarily in.
Yep. Well, let's go on to LSU. I mean, I know we're talking about the top four, but again, they were here this weekend. Never get to see them. And you know, got to see if they're the real deal. What are your thoughts on LSU, Tegan?
Oh man, LSU has, to me, I always see LSU as this powerhouse program, and playing against them in Gulf Shores, kind of getting a taste of what it's going to look like at the end of the year. Oh, Taryn Cloth and Kristen Nuss. Wow. Amazing. Playing against them, I was, who do you serve in that kind of scenario? And they have so much depth on their team as well, where you go up against them, you really have to know your strategy and you got to know who you're going after. And they came in and you are thinking they're going to win the whole thing. And to see UCLA and FSU, who played against LSU? UCLA.
Yep.
And USC. Yeah. Seeing the teams come and 3-2 them and 4-1 them and stuff like that is stuff that makes me so excited for the end of the year to see who's going to come out on top.
Yep. Charlie, what you got to add?
I mean, LSU, even though they did get beat twice by UCLA, that they split with USC, I mean, like Tegan was saying, like we've all said, LSU is still a force. And I think that a big, big, big sign this weekend of some incredible volleyball was Kristen and Taryn remaining undefeated. Like they are the only undefeated pair left at the ones pair. They are producing wins and they are going down to the nittiest of grittiest of games. Like you were saying, in that game against Savvy and Lexi, they were able to produce a 27-25 victory in the third while fighting off 12 match points from UCLA. And so being able to produce a win in the heat of the moment like that, I mean, it just is a sign of absolutely incredible volleyball from them.
Yep. I'm going to go as far as to look at their number fours. And the only reason I got to really, you know, look into this particular matchup is because I had no idea that their fours were as physical as they were. And it's like a battle of the towers. It was Jacqueline Quaid and Megan Murray. So Quaid is 6'2", and Jess Lanceman is 6'2". And they don't hold back. They go over on two, not with a little placement like boop or anything. They hammer. So you had to respect the second ball, but you know, they can get you deep. LSU can get you deep. And Jacqueline Quaid and Megan Murray just got hot at the right time to beat this team. But man, Sydney Moore and Jess Lanceman are definitely one of the teams to watch there on the East Coast in the CCSA. So, you know, I wanted to jump on to the fives on, because one of the teams we haven't really mentioned a lot about who's sneaking up the back door, Loyola Marymount. And I personally don't know a whole bunch except for the coach created by John Mayer. You know, they got Cook on coaching staff with Betsy Flint leaving due to having a baby. but they're doing some good stuff. And we're actually going to have Ea Lindahl on next week, I think. So she can give us a little more insight. But from a player perspective, what are your thoughts on the teams like LMU and this team up north called Stanford who are coming up the backside there? And those teams that are also in the hunt for the at-large with Grand Canyon, TCU, because we haven't really mentioned them either. So Tegan, take a jump in.
I honestly haven't seen a whole lot on LMU as of late. I've watched a little film on them, and same thing. There's just so much good volleyball going on right now. The fives down, you really are, no matter who you're playing, you're going to get a really good game. Their ones, I've seen Ea playing a very, very solid player. And to see them picking up wins against Pepperdine and stuff like that, like, they're also going to be a team that I'm really excited and looking forward to playing against. And teams like TCU, playing against them in Gulf Shores again, a very, very solid team. Their ones, very strong. And to see them pulling out some wins that I haven't seen in a while is honestly, like I said, an amazing volleyball year for everybody.
Yep. Okay, Charlie, it's all right. You can toot your own team's horn if you want. I noticed Tegan didn't toot her own team's horn, so.
I don't need to yet.
No, I think, I mean, again, Loyola Marymount, again, we haven't heard too much about them, but they've been producing wins where wins are necessary, and they are playing great volleyball. They've always had incredible coaching, and kind of having that depth to their roster now, I think that they are well-deserved number five. And I think that now that we're nearing kind of the end of season, it's this battle for those at-large bids. Like, who is going to get that 7 and 8 into the national championship tournament? Is it going to be us? Is it going to be TCU? Is it going to be GCU? Is it going to be Cal Poly? It's kind of those last like grinders for that those last two at large bids, because we do have 3 East Coast and we do have 3 West Coast as well as 2 at large. I think that it's really going to come down to the end on who can determine. I'm really, really beyond proud of Stanford and our team for being able to work our way up from number 19, starting at the rankings, working our way up to number 7 and producing the upsets where we had necessary. I've never been more proud of this program and never been more proud to wear Stanford across my chest, because I mean, it's just an incredible thing that we're being able to do and that we're starting to see as our program is building. And I'm so excited to keep on fighting and to hopefully get that last at-large spot, or to get one of those at-large spots.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy because I almost feel like this would be a great year to see a 16 team tournament, because you can see some pretty good upsets or play-in matches that would be dogfights that would go until sundown if you started those duels. But I mean, it's just so evenly matched up, and there's so much depth of talent. And then you'd go in and play the top 4 seeds. I mean, I think that once that team got momentum, that there is a potential upset of the top 4, because once you get that energy and you start feeling like the confidence, I feel like teams can be beaten no matter where you're at in the poll. So
1000% agree with you on that one.
Let's jump over to, I think, well, we skipped our top players. We also mentioned some, but who are some of the top athletes or pairs that we saw in week 6? Let's go to Charlie on this one first.
Yeah, so they've kind of been left unmentioned tonight, but I think that I can't help but give this big shout out to Lindsay Sparks and Devin Newberry, our ABCA pair of the week, going undefeated at the threes. They're 9-0 at the threes right now, as well as they had been 4-1 at the twos prior to jumping to the number 3 position. They are putting up crazy good wins, and they are coming with crazy comebacks. I saw on Instagram.
Defeating the 23-0 team in the nation?
Yeah.
The first and second time is a big deal?
Yeah. They are playing incredible, and they are doing incredible things with volleyball, upsetting Sarah and Maddie. Sarah and Maddie were undefeated at the threes. Yeah. They're like, I don't even know, like 23-0 or something crazy like that.
Yep.
And giving them those first losses, like that's big in itself. And Lindsay and Devin, 100% top pair of the week.
I'll add that I got to work that match, and it was probably some of the most entertaining volleyball that I've seen this year so far, because they were two such different teams. You have Sarah Putt, the lefty southpaw who just hammers, the physical beast in Maddie Anderson. Then you have the small blocker of Devin Newberry, who just is instinctually a good blocker. And then Lindsay Sparks, who is all around a great defender, but she has such a toolkit of shots and she can bang. So I got the best of all worlds watching that particular pairing. And, you know, shout out to Maddie and Sarah. They, I mean, those could have gone either way. It's just the timing of the points that UCLA got is what was the determining factor in the ends. So let's jump over to you, Tegan. Who are your players, pairs that you that caught your eye this last week?
I'm going to have to go with Taryn Cloth and Kristen Nuss. I mean, once again, so impressed, undefeated as the number one pair. And the fact that they are just such a powerhouse, Kristen Nuss, an incredible player, 5'6", and you can't serve her. You serve her and you're just going to, you get embarrassed almost. I played against her. I was embarrassed. I was like, oh my gosh, she's hitting right around me. And she knows, she sees me. She sees everything. And Taryn Cloth, what is she, 6'3", 6'4"? Incredible. And is she coming from an indoor program?
Yep.
She's coming and killing it on the beach. Right.
First year. Yeah.
Right. And that's so, I know what that's like coming from indoor to beach and having to perform at a high level at the ones on an LSU program. So I'm incredibly impressed by that pair.
Yep. Anyone else need mentioning there?
Well, I am also very impressed with Paula Hoffman and Alanis Navas Sanchez. Those are my fours players who have been undefeated this year, and they are crafty. I mean, one of the most crafty teams I've ever seen. One's Brazilian, the other one's Puerto Rican, and oh my gosh, they'll have you running in circles. I'm so impressed by them this year, and just so proud of them.
Yep, I have to agree with you on that one. Charlie, I feel like you got another one on the tip of your tongue there.
I think lastly, I want to mention the Norse twins. They are one of the three. Now we've mentioned all three of the undefeated pairs in the nation right now. We've got the Norse twins at the fives. We've got Alanis and Paula at the fours. And we've got Taryn and Kristen at the ones. I think all three of those teams are well.
Oh, we lost you, Charlie.
Great things.
We have to repeat that last one. You kind of froze there for a second.
Oh, I got the internet connection is unstable warning, but I was just saying all of those teams are well worth mentioning and they all are doing great things.
Well, you know, actually Tegan took the mine, but I'd rather have you talk about them. But I'm going to go even more specific. Kristen Nuss, if you were sand side, beach side after the second duel at UCLA, I mean, mind you, the first of the double headers, they won third set tiebreak 27-25. And there were deuce scores also in that second set of duels. At the end of the day, the last point, she literally physically collapsed because she had played her heart and body out. But apparently she had cramped up because she had played for so long that day. But I mean, my guess is she probably was dealing with that pain or the cramps all during that second duel, but is such a warrior that she gutted it out and won it. And you know, Tegan, you're right. It's like you serve, you're thinking, oh, who are you gonna serve? Serve the shorter one. Kristen surgically destroys you. And then when you start to pull on her, she hammers one on you. So she is one of the funnest players to watch. And then Taryn Cloth is a physical beast. I mean, you know, they're doing the over on two. Kristen would put up a ball right at the net. You can guarantee that thing is going to make a big sound on the sand when she takes that swing. So definitely, you know, Kristen Nuss for sure was one of the athletes that really stuck out this week. And Charlie, you guys' team, you and Sonny, killing it. I can't avoid you guys at all. So you guys know the deal, but everybody needs to think I'm a homer because I had both of you on the show already. So let's go to our week seven matchups. I mean, we mentioned about 3 weeks away from conference tournaments and selection show Sunday, or is it Saturday? I can't remember at this point, but it's going to be the last week in April. And there's a lot of good volleyball left to be played, but let's focus on week seven. What are some of the duels you're going to be watching for this week? And we'll start with you, Tegan.
Personally, I'm looking forward to playing.
Before you go, We already have some results for this week. So Tuesday, Cal defeated St. Mary's 3-2, which is a narrow win. St. Mary's out of the WCC. And Pepperdine narrowly defeated Long Beach State 3-2 today. Yesterday. So go for it, Tegan.
Personally, I'm really looking forward to the UCLA at Arizona State, as well as UCLA versus Stanford. Really looking forward to that. I think that Stanford's going to pull out something a little fantastic. I'm really looking forward to that. And I think you guys are on my home turf this weekend. So definitely looking forward to seeing some matches here.
All right, Charlie, one match that you're looking forward to. We're going to ping pong.
Okay, ping pong. I'm looking forward to watching my girl Tegan play against Long Beach State. So Grand Canyon versus Long Beach State will be my one that I pick for the ping pong.
I'm going to go for my ping pong here because, you know, one of the teams that's really caught my eye this year is FAU. But last weekend they played without the number ones, Erica Brock and Mackenzie Morris, which I don't understand why, but, you know, that's a big part of why that team is successful this year. And they take on Stetson, who I would guess at this point is playing with a chip on their shoulder. They keep kind of getting closer to 20, moving back up to like 15, 16, losing, going back. I feel like you're going to play with urgency this week. So I feel like depending on what happens with Erica Brock and Mackenzie Morris and FAU, Stetson could be out for upset. They're going to be upset minded this week. So that's going to be what I'm going to be watching. Tegan, go.
I am personally really excited to see Tulane versus TCU. I think those are two really gritty teams that are going to come for each other's throats a little bit. And I would be interested to see who's going to come out on top. After playing both of those teams, they've got some tricks up their sleeve that people need to watch for.
Yep. All right, Charlie.
I'm going to look at FAU versus FIU. That's going to be a battle. I mean, rivalry schools are always fun to have games against, and I think that that's going to be a battle.
Yeah, FIU could be out for revenge because FAU got the last one.
Yes.
I'm going to pick one because it's similar turf for me with, two schools that are very connected, Grand Canyon and Long Beach State times two. You're going back to a place that your brother helped establish a really good volleyball name for the men's side, but the Long Beach State program right there in the mid-teens, 15 rank against you, Tegan. So, I'm not quite sure what lineup they're going to come out with this week, but they've been doing some good stuff. Tyler Spriggs and Mario Molina, the Big West's pair of the week. Unfortunately, they lost one today, Pepperdine, but still, it's not to say they aren't a good pair to watch, but Long Beach State, Grand Canyon times two is definitely one that's on my watch list. Tegan.
I agree with you on that. They're on my watch list as well.
How about the playlist? Just get your game out and play your playlist. Yeah,
pretty much. Exactly. Another game that I'm really looking forward to is Pepperdine and UC Davis. UC Davis really has surprised me this year. I had never really known that they had such talent that they do this year. And playing against them, I was like, wow, they actually are a much stronger program than I had been expecting. And they kind of came up out of the middle of nowhere for us and did a really good job playing against us. So I would be interested to see if they could pull out some wins against Pepperdine.
Yep. All right, Charlie, throw one down.
I think my last one on my notes here is kind of the Pac-12 North tournament as a whole. It's a little bit south considering it's going to be hosted in Phoenix, actually, at the GCU facility. But the Pac-12 North tournament is happening this weekend. And so we are going to be taking on U of A, UCLA, USC, as well as Berkeley. And I think that all of our matches are going to be exciting. But really, all of the matches at that tournament are going to be exciting, as Pac-12 tournaments usually are.
Yep. Is there anything that we may have missed there? Are we good? Because if we're good, we're going to jump to our fan questions, which is always the fun part because it puts Charlie in such an awkward position. But we can definitely put Tegan in an awkward position too. So, well, one of the boards, is Stanford now a serious contender to make it to Gulf Shores? I think it makes sense to ask Tegan first on this one.
I personally really enjoy this question because I genuinely think that you guys could easily be a contender in Gulf Shores this year. You guys have an amazing depth to your team that maybe last year was lacking a little bit, but I think that you guys have come out with such a strong, you're so gritty, and I think that you seriously could pull off some wins that I think people are not looking for. So I'm really excited personally to see if you guys can pull that off.
Let's see how Charlie answers this question.
So, I mean, in all seriousness, I do think that we are a serious contender to go to Gulf Shores. Completely unbiased, clearly, no, but we've produced upsets of number 5, number 6, number 8, as well as number 9. And so I think that our ranking of number 7, with the potential to even move up to number 6, I think that we're properly ranked. And I think that we do have a good opportunity and would be a good contender to go to Gulf Shores this year.
Yep. All right, next question. Is there a surprise player of the year so far, either on your team or another team, that's been like the difference maker for those teams? We'll start with you, Tegan. Ooh.
I know.
That was a big thinking face right there.
I have to think about this one a little bit. I've seen a lot of really outstanding players this year. Bringing up again, Lindsay and Devin, they have really been some teams that they're younger and have come out and really surprised me. They are a force to be reckoned with. Are they at the threes?
They're at the threes. Yep.
Force to be reckoned with. And personally on my team, I'm going to speak for myself here a little bit. I have a freshman, Allie Hansen, who has really surprised me this year and has made a huge difference on our team, bringing some serious depth. And so for me, that's going to be a little player of the year for me, that I think that with our, with her coming in, I think that she's seriously going to make a difference on some wins at the twos for us.
Or at least even a freshman of the year type of award for her.
Yeah, seriously.
Yep. All right, Charlie, how about you?
Yeah, I think that I was even thinking about like a midseason surprise. And I don't know if I really have anybody that's completely like surprised me, because there's so much volleyball talent throughout the nation right now that I'm kind of like, I'm really not surprised anywhere, because everybody's so good that I was expecting upsets to happen and expecting so much competition to be just absolutely thriving. Mm-hmm. I think that when I look at like a pair that's really like that came out of the gates surprising everybody was the TCU ones. They're an all freshman duo at the ones, and they are 18-3 right now and absolutely beyond a talented team. And then I'm also looking at just like everybody competing at such a high level. I mean, we all look at Kristen Nuss as one of, if not the best player in the nation. And we look at Tina as an Olympian. She's incredible. Mm-hmm. And we look at Lindsay and Devin producing incredible wins. We look at Sarah Putt. We look at Maddie Mae Anderson. We look at Kira Rutz, Tori Van Winden. We look at, I mean, I could be naming them off forever. Lexi and Savvy. And then coming back to my team, Zolani and Kate, who took a ABCA pair of the week. They have been doing such incredible things as an all freshman duo at the twos. And just, I don't know, so much love and so much volleyball talent across the nation right now.
Well, I'm just going to name one. And it's because I think it's just because I saw them for the first time this weekend since seeing them play in juniors and at Cal Poly. But Kira Rutz and Tori Van Winden have, Kira on defense is another one that's been like watching the way that she's moving and getting the reads off the block of Tori, and just the strength of Tori now. It's been two seasons since I've seen her play on the sand before she transferred over there from Cal Poly. But you know, you can definitely see a change in their physicality of the game and their knowledge. And I think that comes from the coaching, you know, Brooke Niles and Jason Lockhead, not bad coaches to have directing your career and improving your play. So those were the three questions I picked out this week. And is there anything else that we may have missed during the week of action here, or what's coming up? No, because I'm watching personally April 17th and 22nd. That's a USC versus UCLA, because we know there's going to be this hardcore rivalry element thrown in there. And I don't think USC is liking being at number two right now. So, but I know there's other stuff. How about you guys? Anything else that we could be keeping an eye on? Not necessarily next week, but in the upcoming weeks.
I think in all the coming weeks, I think it's just getting more and more exciting as we near and edge closer to Gulf Shores. I think that as we're kind of seeing settling into these final rankings and kind of seeing where teams are settling, what teams are going to be going, all of kind of that little like side notes, I just think that it's all around very exciting times. And I think that, I don't know, I have nothing left to say tonight. It's a happy week, and it's a exciting week of competition and exciting weeks to come of more and more heavy competition.
Yep. Anything else to add there, Tegan?
Just to speak off of what Charlie said, I'm really excited to see these upcoming games. I'm excited to see who gets these at-large bids, and I'm excited to see who's going to take who with the UCLA, USC, seeing them earlier on this year and seeing the changes that have been made. I'm just excited to be playing and excited to be seeing what's happening with beach volleyball this year.
Oh, good call. Good call. Hey, Charlie, Tegan, thanks for coming on to College Volleyball Weekly Beach Edition. Hopefully we'll just have a big reunion with our normal hosts and all our guests, like one final, like looking back on the year, like a recap. So it'll be nice and fun, because great personalities, good luck to your teams this week in competition. And remember, stay positive, test negative. That's the big thing right now. So looking forward to seeing the results after this week. And, you know, hey, feel free to follow these ladies and their programs. In fact, fans, the best thing you can do is support these programs by following them on social media, going to the websites, doing those clicks, engaging with all the stuff, because Although a lot of the nation can't be in attendance, you can show your support for their teams, their programs, and collegiate beach volleyball just by doing that simple thing, watching the streams. Keep up with the streams on volleyballmag.com. They've got a pretty extensive stream listing on their site, but you can always just visit these teams' web pages. They have a list of their streams as well. So Charlie Teagan, thank you again. I look forward to catching up with you, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Viral Volley Podcast. Be sure to follow Rob at Rob on the Mic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or at robonthemic.com. Check you next time.